This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome everybody. Welcome to this beautiful day outside. It's great to see everybody here today again in church. It's such a blessing to have church again together as a family in this building. I just want to pray for us and then we'll go into worship. And then you'll hear later on from me again regarding announcements. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the privilege we have as your family, as your church, as your bride to get together physically today in this place. Father, thank you for the favor that you've given us and has shown us to give us a church building where we can get together as your family. Father, thank you for this day. And we just want to invite your Holy Spirit to be present here today, that we'll just settle down and we'll focus on you and focus on your on the message that you bring to us. And it's all about you today, that we make that our focus in this day. Abba Father, we praise your glorious name. Amen. Okay, we're going to go into worship. It's one song of worship, and then I'll do the announcements after that.
Yahweh, Yahweh. saints and angels, they bow before your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing.
Arise, day and night.
lift him high in this house this morning. You are worthy of it all. Yes, you are, Lord. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. We're just going to sing it one more time. We sing, because you are worthy of it all. We join in with heaven this morning.
Shine. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we can gather to worship, glorify your name. Indeed, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Your word says, upon the mention of this name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. And I pray, Lord, submitting our souls to you, that we may hear what you have for us today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Kids Church. Yeah, my name is Abanas. This is my second time to stand before you to share the word of God. And I want to first thank the leadership of the church for allowing me a second time to share. Do not take it for granted. We glorify God for that. I'm married to Sylvia, seated at the back. We have no children yet, so. Yeah, so today I want to share with us something to do with the power of words, words that we speak, the words that we share with other people. And my theme first comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 18, from verse 20 and 21. It says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I want to start with a question. That's the first slide. Has someone ever said something to you, good or bad, that you remember even to date? You can share with your friend and just briefly, for like 30 seconds, what do you remember someone told you that you remember even today? Yeah, 30 seconds are gone. The reason as to why you remember that thing is because it had an impact in you. It was either a positive impact or it was a negative impact. And for sure, I want to focus more on the negative. I will also speak about the positive. But it takes very few words to hurt someone, to break someone's heart. And once you have released a word to someone, you cannot take it back. People can heal, they can forget about it, but the impact, they still can feel it for some time. And words can build and they can also break. So if you speak a positive word to someone, a word of encouragement, it will build them up. It will build their spirit. That's why James is saying, that's why Proverbs, this is Solomon speaking, he's saying like the tongue carries power to life, but at the same time, it carries power to death. People have been heartbroken. And there are some parents who have spoken words to their kids which have completely wrecked their lives. They have fallen into depression. They have fallen into some holes which they cannot get themselves out. This was because these parents maybe were angry with their kids. Maybe they were offended with them. And then they spoke something. And because we are creative beings, it started growing inside them. Maybe, for instance, they said like, I don't think you can make it. And then that word grows in their hearts like, I am a failure. I cannot make it. And if my father or mother can tell me this, then it's true. And then it builds in them. And anything they try to do, it becomes a failure. And I will give you an example. In my high school, there's a teacher who told me, like, you will never go far. So, and this really, really hurt me a lot. And any time I did a subject and maybe was not too good in it, I felt like it might have been true, like I can never go back. I cannot go far. I don't think I can make it. It was building in myself, like I don't think this thing is made for me. So we can see the impact people have in other people's lives, either positively or negatively. We see a lot of marriages which have been broken because of words. Husbands and wives speaking words which are hurting one another. Like you shoot a word to your wife, and then it grows inside them until they even at some time divorce. Because the wife or the husband will say, like, I can't take it. This man is too verbally abusive. Because what you hear is like, you build it in your mind. Our mind are framed in a way like, what comes in, you start like internalizing it and like reflecting it into your life. And I will tell you for sure, there are some elements which will match. And the mind will try to pick them up. Like, that's why you will like remember something which is negative. Someone told you long time ago, but you might forget something which is positive, which was said to you. Because that is how our minds are framed. And I have seen like countries which have gone into war because of words which were spoken to leaders. Leaders spoke up words, and then there was war. I've seen tribes in Kenya, like when leaders spoke something, and then they went into war, they fought, they killed one another. Because words are very powerful. And we may have some broken bones or broken bodies, like you can get an accident and you can heal physically. But once you break someone's spirit, it takes time to heal. Really long time to heal. I've seen people who have taken things we have said to them when they were kids, and they have grown with them. They have grown with them even into adulthood, and they have never let go because it takes time. And I want us to see some biblical examples of people who let anger control them. Like you get angry, instead of keeping quiet, you start lashing out. Because that's how, what we do. Like, some people get angry and then they start speaking to get the anger out. And Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and told them, like, it's okay to be angry. You cannot control that. You can get angry. People will offend you. But do not let anger take charge of you. And he says in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the enemy. Because the devil builds on our words. So Paul is writing to the church and telling them, like, it's okay. People will offend you and you can get offended. And you can get angry. But do not let your anger lead you to sin. Do not give the devil an opportunity to control you. So we have seen that. So it's not a sin to get angry. What you do after you get angry is what is sin. So if you start cursing after you get angry, you are sinning. Getting angry by itself is not a sin. It's okay, we have emotions. I don't know if there is any one of us who doesn't get offended. Maybe you are living in a different world, right? So, and I will use some biblical examples in the New Testament and the Old Testament of people who allowed anger to control them and what happened, what they spoke, the impact it had even after hundreds of years. Because words do not die easily. You may die, but the words you spoke still live on. That's why we are still living on the word that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago. But today, it lives on. So be mindful of what you say in the negative side. Because it will live on even when you are not alive. And I will use the example of Jacob and his sons. I will just quote a few because he had 12. We can't read all of them. So I'll just use Reuben, the other one called Levi, and Judah. I'll use three. And we read from Genesis 35:22, like the eldest son of Jacob, Reuben, what he did to his father. 35:22, while Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Israel is Jacob. So this is a guy who went to bed with his father's mistress. Because in the Old Testament, they had wives, and there was what you can call girlfriend in this modern society. Yeah, I know you get what I mean. So the eldest son slept with his father's mistress, and the father heard about it. He was annoyed, but he never spoke about it until some time. And in Genesis 34, verse 30, we see Jacob speaking to Simeon and Levi. And he said, "You have brought trouble to me by making me stink to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me to attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." So the background of the story about Levi and Simeon, they had a sister called Dinah. And now this sister went out to see friends. And then there was a guy who was interested in Dinah. And then he went ahead and raped her. And then she came back and told her brothers about what happened. And then the guy who raped her was interested in getting married to her. So he went to the father, to her father, to ask for a hand in marriage. Some of us have gone to ask for a hand in marriage, so you know what I'm meaning. And then these guys, the two guys, they were annoyed, but they never showed it. They told them, like, if you want to marry our sister, go back and circumcise yourselves so that we can intermarry. You know the history of Israel, like, they were all married. The males were married. So they told them, like, go and get married. This was happening in Shechem. And then after 3 days, when they were in pain, when the men of the city were in pain after the circumcision, Levi and Simeon went ahead and killed all men in the city because of the thing that they did to their sister. And Jacob was they had very few numbers that time. So that's why he's saying, like, my numbers are few. And if they thing gather and attack me, I shall be destroyed. So their father was really annoyed because of the thing that they did. And then I want to show you what Jacob did afterwards. And this one we read from the book of Genesis 41. Verse 1 to 10. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the days to come, in the future. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Yet unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. You went up to my couch." Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are in their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. All my glory be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, wounders rose him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. So this guy was annoyed with three of his sons, and he kept quiet about it. Then he knew my time shall come to speak it out to them. And he waits until the time when he was about to die, and then he calls them to bless them. And then he remembers what Reuben did. In the history of the church, like the children of Israel, if you were the firstborn, it was almost like sure that you will be a very powerful person. We call it in Encounter 3, that is legacy, like double portion. You were like a father in the family. But this guy messed up. And then the father says, like, you will never dominate because you slept with one of my wives. And that is what he says. And then what Levi and Simeon did was killing men in Shechem. And then he says, cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. He never spoke a blessing to them. He cursed them because he was annoyed. But then there was this guy who was one of his favorites, Judah. And we have that even in our families. Like, we have some kids which, not for every family, there are some parents who are like that. They have some favorite kids. It's immoral. All kids should be treated equally. Then he says to Judah, like, your brothers shall praise you. You are like a lion. And the scepter, that like the kingship, shall never depart from you. And all the kings of Israel, like David, Solomon, everyone, until Jesus, they were coming from the lineage of Judah. Because his father spoke a word into his future, and that word shaped his destiny. So I want to see, like, after many, many years, when this guy has spoken these words, what do we see? Is it a reality, or he was just speaking out of the blues? We want to see implications of the words of Jacob. And I will start with on the life of Reuben. We don't see it explicitly written in the Bible that this guy suffered. But when you look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 1 and 6, this is during the time of Moses. He says, like, this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So Jacob has died many generations to Moses. And verse 6, he says, let Reuben live and not die. Let his men not be few. So what does it mean, like, to you? It means, like, the men in the lineage of Reuben were dying. We don't know whether prematurely or they were dying in battle or whatever. But the curse which the father spoke on him still reigned, even up to the time of Moses. Let his men not be few. So that tells you, like, he had trouble in his life. And then Exodus 32, 19 to 20. We want to see the implication of the curse of Levi on the life of one of his descendants. Because if someone speaks something to you or into your lineage, then it will go even to your children and their children and their children, without knowing. And then 32:19-20 says, and as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burnt hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it into powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. This guy really struggled with anger. even from when he was a child, living in the palace of Pharaoh, he saw an Israelite fighting with an Egyptian, and then he killed the Egyptian. I remember a time when he was adding, I don't know how to pronounce that, he was taking care of the flock of his father in Jethro, and then the daughters of Jethro, from where he got a wife, came to water their flock, and then some shepherds came to like drive them away. Then Moses gave them a beating and drove them away. So he really struggled with this thing. And this is the sole reason why Moses never entered the promised land. He was overly temperamental. Like when he saw the people, how they had defiled themselves, he was so angry. He broke the tablet. And God had to write them again. So you see, like from the lineage of his father, because his great-great father was Levi, and then to Moses, after many, many, many years. So words never die easily, my brethren. And then we see Judah, who was blessed, in the book of Matthew 1, verse 1 to 3. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Verse 3. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron. And Hezron, the father of Ram. So we see like from the lineage of Judah is when Jesus Christ came from. Because his father spoke a blessing to him. Told him like the kingship shall not depart from your family. And even after years and years and years, Jesus is born and he is from the lineage of Judah. When you read the life of Judah, he really messed a lot. He messed a lot of things. But still, because of the blessing which was spoken long time ago, he still became the great grandfather of Jesus Christ after many, many years. I hope that speaks something to you. That is Jacob. And the other one, the last one I will look at is Joshua. What happened with Joshua? And this is Joshua 6:26. And Joshua laid an oath on them at that time, saying, "Cast before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates." This is when the children of Israel were going to the promised land, and then they came to the city of Jericho, and they destroyed the city. You know what happened. And then after destroying the city, their leader, their spiritual leader, this is Joshua, he cursed the city and said, like, whoever shall try to rebuild it, like laying the foundation and finishing it up, let his firstborn and his lastborn die. And that was a long time ago. And then we see after years, years, hundreds of years, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings 16:34, in his days, Eliel of Bethel built Jericho. There's a guy who comes up and he starts building Jericho. I don't know whether he was aware of a curse which was laid a long time ago. But he came up and he started building. He laid its foundation at the cost of Abraham, his firstborn, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. So exactly the way Joshua said it, like, when you start the foundation, your firstborn shall die. I don't know whether when they were going on, other sons in the middle were dying. But he said, as you do the finishing, your lastborn will also die. And this is someone which happened exactly the way he said it. So it tells you, like, words take time to die. It can take, we may even die and pass away, but our words will live on. The words we speak to our kids will live on. Because, of course, every prayer of a parent is that you will not, the kid will not die before you. So you might die, but what you spoke to your kid long time ago, they will still live on. So speak life. Speak life. And when you are annoyed, it's better to keep quiet than to keep talking. Sometimes I know we want to like prove ourselves, like, yeah, I give him a talk. I talked him. Now he has, but it doesn't help. And we see words have creative power, even from our God, the Father. When he was creating the earth and making the heavens and even making us, he was speaking words, saying, let them be. And we are formed in his image and likeness. We are also creative beings. We can speak something to existence. We can speak it to death also. And we see in Genesis 1:1-3, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then there are a lot of things which he said, like, let there be, let them be. So that is how powerful the words that we speak, the word that God speaks to us is. And then Jesus says in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. The words which Christ spoke will by no means pass. Everything shall pass, we shall go to heaven, but the words of Jesus, which he told us, like, one day we shall sing with him in heaven, he shall still tell us. I believe he shall tell us the same. I promise you, it has happened. So words, the word of God doesn't die, but words of people may die, but it takes really long. It takes really long. But you may ask yourself, like, I have already spoken, and I was speaking out of ignorance. I never knew. Is there a remedy about the things which I spoke out of ignorance or the time when I was not in Christ? Because, to be honest, it is more powerful when you are in Christ. It has a lot of impact when you are in Christ, but it still has an impact even when you are not born again. Because even wars which are caused or troubles which are caused are not necessarily caused by people who are in Christ. Words can be spoken by anyone. So, is there a remedy? Yeah, there is a remedy. Like, we can reverse those curses or words which we spoke out of anger. It is possible. And we see this, like, in a verse which I read in Deuteronomy 1:26. This is the blessing which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. Let Reuben live and not die, and let his men not be few. So Moses reversed the curse of Jacob on Reuben. He said, like, these guys were destined to die, I don't know whether prematurely or in war or whatever, and they were destined to be few. But Moses says, like, let them not be few. So that is one remedy. But the other one which works effectively is to, like, really refrain ourselves from speaking words when we are angry or offended, like, to put, how do you say, to muzzle your tongue that you will not speak. The Bible calls it to brindle, like, your tongue. And I will read this one from James 1:19-20. James says, know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James knew what words can do, how devastating they can be, how they can destroy destinies. But he appeals to us as a church that we may be quick to hear, but very slow to speak. Because when you are too quick to speak, I know I speak a lot, but I can tell you a lot of times you can mess up things. But when you are slow on things, like you just decide to yourself like to keep quiet, it helps a lot. It helps to prevent a lot of problems. And he says, like, you should also be slow to anger. Like, you need to learn to control your anger. And growing up in my life, I realized it is something which has roots. When I was doing the encounter four, I realized that. Because I never imagined, like, I never thought that getting angry is something which has a root, like a root cause. Because I struggled with this, really. It even reached a time like where I would have like anger attacks. Like, I'm just seated, I have nothing which has happened to me, and then I just get angry. Like, I feel of annoyed with nothing. And then we prayed with Ndakian and Renee. I prayed about it. It never went completely. And then, because when I got married to my wife, she lived with my family for some time before she came to the Netherlands. She told me, like, do you realize, I realize the way you get angry is the way your brother gets angry. And most of your brothers in the family is the way they think it. And then I realized, like, it's something which happens with my, it is something which was happening with my grandfather. I never thought about it. I even never thought about it. But I started to, like, pray, cutting the roots of the thing. Because it is coming from the grandfather. I don't know where it's coming from. Because it has happened to my grandfather. It was happening to my father. And then in me. But I've never realized it in my brothers. Because we think, like, it's normal. But my wife thought, like, no, this is not normal. So it has some root. And then lastly, I want to read for us in the book of James 3, from 3 to 12. This one is a full sermon by itself, doesn't need explanation. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, and then we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and undriven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue, a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, the world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Yeah, it's a weird combination. Huh? We praise God, we worship God, we bless people, and at the same time, with the same tongue, you curse other people. And then he says, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salty water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or can a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salty pond yield fresh water. It can't be the same. Like, we need to, If our mouth cannot speak a blessing and a curse at the same time, that is not the life of an unbeliever. Unbeliever is different. You are destined to bless, to create, to speak life. Not unless you are cursing demons or something else. That one is you can curse. Demons or spirits. But other brethren and people, you are supposed to bless. That's why the Bible says, like, even if they do wrong to you or they harm you, you bless them. And this is the scenario Jesus was given. If he slaps you on one side, you should give him the other one. It doesn't mean like you allow someone to slap you. But what it means is like, don't repay evil for evil. Even if they curse you or speak evil about you, or they show you prejudice at work, you are supposed to bless them. Yeah, it's okay. Or you keep quiet. You should not repay. Because an orange tree cannot bear lemons. If your orange tree is bearing lemon, you need to cut it down. It's not a normal tree. It's the same way your mouth cannot produce a blessing and a curse at the same time. A fresh water spring cannot produce salty water at the same time. If you find like a spring which is producing salty water, someone has poured some salt somewhere. The enemy has poured some salt somewhere. So it's the same with us. If we are producing salty water and we are supposed to be a fresh water spring, it means like the enemy has planted something somewhere which we need to look for and uproot. So that is refraining our tongues and taming our tongue. And then the other one is taken from the book of Chronicles, chapter 4, 9 to 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. You see what this mother called the child? Like, this is Jabez. This is a pain. I hear people saying it's a pain on the neck. So they say, like, Jabez is a pain. And for sure, this guy caused pain. Because he was called pain, in other words. So even the way you name your child, like, can call him wrath or something, it can have an implication on his life. What you speak to your kids, what you speak to other people, what you speak to your brothers and sisters has an impact, a far more rich in impact in the future than you ever imagined. And we speak sometimes out of ignorance, but the spiritual realm takes it the way it is. Doesn't care whether you are angry or you are feeling good. And then in verse 10, Jabez called upon God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted him what he asked. Some versions say, like, so that I might not cause pain. So he was called pain. It became a pain in his life, and he also caused pain to other people. That's the same way with hurting people. Depressed people or people who are broken, they are harm to themselves, and they can also cause harm to other people around. So it's like a triple tragedy. You are causing harm to another person. The person is causing harm to themselves and also causing harm to other people. Three times. So, but Jabez prayed and asked the Lord, like, that you may take away pain and enlarge my territory. And God granted his wish. So we can ask the Lord to take away the pain that people have caused us, knowingly or unknowingly, and that it may be well with your life. That the curses that people are placed, the abuse that they are placed, the Lord is able to take it away and fill you with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, like, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And whoever Jesus sets free is free indeed. So if the Lord sets you free from that, you will be free. But you need to ask. Some people are too afraid to ask. Because other people have even told them, like, but God can never hear you. It's a lie. God is willing and is able to restore us from pain. And we have a lot of resources here in church that can help you. And one of them is like Foundation 4. That is Encounter 4, where you learn about deliverance and forgiving other people who caused you pain. Because forgiveness is one of the ways to release that pain and live a life of freedom. If you are carrying a person in your heart, you should let them go. And you can only you can only forgive truly if you have the Spirit of God. Carnally, it's so difficult. Like, you don't see a reason of forgiving that person who spoke those things to you. Carnally, it's not. In your flesh, you cannot. But when you have the Spirit, you are able. He gives you the freedom. So one way is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And the other one is prayer, like the way we have seen with Jabez, asking for prayer. In Foundation 4, that is Encounter 4, Dakian and Renan guide you like through prayer series, which help you to like release that pain and also that the Lord restores you again fully. And the other thing is like refusing all the lies that the enemy is whispering about you. People spoke to you, they said you will never make it, you are useless, whatever, you can never grow in that company, you are not good enough. Because I see this a lot in the society, even the Dutch society. Like someone said, like, you will never make it, or you are not good enough. That is the word they use. You are not good enough. And then that has an implication on the life of that child. Like, they feel like they are not good enough. And there's a lot of suicidal thoughts and even suicide that people commit because they felt like, I'm not good enough. What am I worthy for? It has also led to like change, like gender confusion. Like you are a man and you feel like you are a woman because your mother told you you look pretty. The words that we speak, like ignorantly, like you tell your son he looks pretty and then he feels like I am a girl. And then they are confused forever, like they don't know. I think I am, I don't know, gender X. I saw that it's being put in the ID. It's confusion because words that people spoke. So one is refusing the lies. He told you like you can't make it. You counter it and say like, I will make it. I think I can. It was until I refused the words that the teacher spoke to me that I started like doing well. I know I was a good student. That I knew. But whenever I felt like I am not understanding, I felt like, but he might have spoken the truth. Like, I don't think this is my thing. But it was until I learned like to refuse and say, like, I know I can do it. There was a change. So my brethren, my final word and my appeal to you is, like, let us refrain our tongues. Let us speak positive things to our kids, to our friends, to our family, to anyone. Do not curse. But you are created to bless. So for those of us who are wondering, like, how Encounter 4 works. You can get in touch with Renee. She's the leader of Encounter 4, that is Deliverance. And then she will guide you through. And then you live a life of freedom. Because you have the Spirit of God, and where He is, there's freedom. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts. Your word says the entrance of your word brings wisdom to the humble and the meek. My prayer is that this word will change people and it will change the way we perceive our lives. For you have created us in your own likeness. We are creative beings, and what we speak comes to existence. Father, we ask that you may help us in the name of Jesus to live according to you, that we may have a Christ mind, that we may be slow to speak, that we may be quick to hear, that we may be slow to anger. We can never do it without you. Father, our prayer is that you may help us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I feel like there are some people who are struggling with forgiveness, especially. A lot. So if you need prayer to forgive someone who really hurt you, words which you spoke long time ago, but you can still remember. If you can still something, you remember something which someone said bad to you, you still carry them in the heart, in your heart. So if you need forgiveness, we will, in the ministry, there will be people praying for you, like Jan and Renee. So you can just shoot up and they will pray for you. God bless you.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.